Welcome into the BBP. This is the Bengals Beat Podcast presented by Inquirer Sports. Here, your Cincinnati.com Bengals beat writers, Paul Diener Jr. and Jim Ossarski, invite you beyond the headlines and inside Paul Brown Stadium for the scoop on all things Bengals. Find out the insider news as well as listening on conversations with players, coaches, and others relevant to the club. Remember, you can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Just search Inquirer Bengals Beat Podcast. And as always, you can listen on our free Cincinnati Inquirer Bengals app. If you don't have the app, well, I suggest rectifying that situation immediately in the App Store. Now, if you're down with BBP, let's go.
All right, welcome to the latest edition of the BBP. Paul Diener Jr., Jim Ossarski, your Bengals beat writer, Cincinnati.com, Cincinnati Inquirer. Jim.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm good.
I would like to welcome you into the podcast as the, for the first time as the Ohio Associated Press Sports Feature Writer of the Year. Congratulations.
I appreciate that.
Well deserved, sir.
Thank you.
It's good to hang those on the wall.
Yeah.
It's an actual plaque, too, which is huge.
Yeah, that's good.
Sometimes there are certificates for stuff like that, and you got to, like, go frame it yourself or something. This is, like, this is actual legit hardware.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
You earned it.
Well, you are, well, you know. Yeah, I did. Yeah. No, it's
everybody else was up for that award. Back up and recognize what happened.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Yeah. Thank you for obviously Amy Wilson, Jason Hoffman, Kareem Al-Ghazar, who shot it, did the video. It was the Andy Dalton story from last summer,
which was fantastic. Yeah, No, you went out earlier, but you were in the midst of working on it about this time last year, I would say.
Yeah.
Over the summer, kind of using the dead pier to do it. So and it was a great story. If you haven't seen it, honestly, it's not necessarily time sensitive to last year. It's a great story on sort of who Andy Dalton is, which I think a lot of people and why it was a winner is, you know, I think a lot of people didn't really realize all that.
Yeah, he definitely hasn't changed in the calendar year. I mean, he's added another kid to the family, but Andy, I think we were talking about it at the time too, he's just a private guy and he never really had a profile done on him.
Yeah.
Which is, if you think about starting quarterbacks in the NFL, it's a rare thing. Usually
especially a polarizing one like that, who so many people talk about.
Right.
No one had really taken the time to get to know him.
Yeah.
But you did.
Yeah.
And that's why you get hardware. That you earned it. Anyway, so congratulations. I wanted to start off there with that. So we are into officially Bengals on the field. Yeah. 2017 has begun sort of thing.
Yes.
All the
real
formulating.
Football.
Yeah, real. Well.
Well, kind of.
Eh.
What I had.
Not really.
No more projecting, I guess, of like, you know, what we thought or what you could see. Like you actually saw men running around and throwing and catching.
Yes. The GMs and the scouts can put their feet up and the coaches now are in.
Right.
And they're with their coals, you know, their feet to the coals right now with this club. So, the roster has been formulated. There are minor tweaks possibly, but we're not going to see much change between now and actually and cut down day. Because now there is no middle cut.
Yeah, no.
You got 90 to 53 on the day before, you know, on that Saturday.
Yeah.
Before the season, week before the season.
Right.
Now, they used to go to 75, but this week they decided to change that to just go down just once. And that came from, teams would go into this fourth playoff game. Right. Bengals never been in a fourth playoff game. fourth preseason game. Looking for... to play all these dudes that and their starters sit and the dudes had to get cut just before that.
Right.
And so it was like the one time you actually want those back end of the roster guys is for that game and they didn't have them. So they decide, you know, and you can still Brandon Tate it and cut guys that you want to have a chance elsewhere early if you want to do that to be good to dudes.
Right. Oh, definitely. And Marvin Lewis, and we'll get to some of the things he said, but regarding that, it was just kind of funny, Paul, because we asked him, like, procedurally, is there a problem there? Because you're kind of used to 75 to 53, and he was just like, no.
No.
Which basically means, you know, those 27 dudes or whatever, I mean, you know.
They know what's happening.
Yeah.
They're gonna know well before that Saturday to not. They're not gonna be sitting staring at their phone.
No,
I can tell you that much. They'll be well aware. All right. So yeah. So OTAs happen, and you are like the solo man on a mission right now. I'm all laid up. I got a back issue going on. I was in the MRI machine today. Yeah. I felt like a player.
Yeah.
Except I have no actual athletic achievements to my name. I was in the MRI machine today trying to get my back stuff worked out. So you've got everything covered. So I'm just going to be lobbing softballs to you today pretty much on what was going on out there. But I didn't need to know to be out there on the field to know the news of the day, because all I have to do is open up Twitter. Because guess what happened? With Marvin Lewis, is always 10% chance of gaffe, and we hit 10% today. And I don't know if I'd call it a gaffe per se, but it just ended up being a virally bad look is what happened today.
Yeah, so, Marvin, you know, one of the rule changes, not voted on by the owners, I don't believe, it was just sort of the commissioner decided to get hip and send out some gifts of celebration saying, you guys can do these now.
Yes.
And Marvin was not having the idea of celebrations and the idea that they could come back and basically says they're a bad example for kids, which I'll be honest, Paul, like in the moment, and you guys, you'll hear this audio here shortly when we talk about all the rule changes, Marvin kind of running through them, but it wasn't like he just kind of said it, and it was just kind of like a 15-year coach who was just remembering Chad and Tio and whatever from back in the day, and she's like, oh, I don't want to deal with this. And, or what could happen now that choreographed dances and team celebrations and all that stuff. But yeah, you're right, Paul. Other people were like, wait a minute, guy who drafted Joe Mixon.
Right. You're saying that this is a bad example for young people, and it's the optics.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. And this is, we talked about shrapnel from drafting Joe Mixon. This is a very small, tiny bit of shrapnel that you're going to catch when you say things,
right?
And you try to hop on a moral high ground about anything,
right?
People are going to throw Joe Mixon in your face.
Yes.
And you know, I mean, the Pro Football Talk headline kind of said it best: is coach who drafted woman beater thinks celebrations bad example for young people. And those are all, that's fact. They're not, it's not a lie. It's the optics. And this is what happens when you do things like draft Joe Mixon or keep Adam Jones.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, even on the national talk radio circuit, I'm sure this will get recycled again in the morning for the morning show people in talk radio around the country, was exactly that. On the heels of another Adam Jones public apology and the settlement of another legal dispute, you know, Joe Mixon, yeah, it was just sort of, but
it's
again,
like, it's like everything. The timing's just bad.
Yeah, and you know, Marvin, I'm sure, will say, well, I'm talking about an on-the-field situation, but that's, you're right. That is, you know, that is the after effects of when you make those on-field decisions.
Yes, yeah.
Of what comes off of it.
Yeah, that's just part of the deal. Let's just go ahead and bring in the audio right now of Marvin running through his opinion on a lot of these rule changes. You can hear the way he sort of addressed this celebration thing and amongst a few of the other rule changes that came through today. So here's Marvin Lewis from after the OTA practice on Tuesday. We're talking about rule changes.
I wanted to ask you about some of the competition committee changes. What are your thoughts on the overtime change from 15 minutes to 10 minutes?
Was it voted through?
Yeah.
Okay. Approved. You know, I think there. You know, the reason it came up is obviously if you're, which it hasn't happened yet, but a team that was playing on Sunday afternoon and they had to turn around and play a Thursday game. You know, the trend recently would be that's a lot of plays, and so just trying to just keep a team from having to have that burden. It may cause a couple more ties each season, which from what I understand from the league standpoint, that's good for tiebreakers. So, but that could be, you know, one of the outcomes of it.
I guess so you're for the shortened overtime period?
Yeah.
Also, they passed a rule basically reversing all of the celebration rules, so now players can celebrate in groups again and basically do everything they haven't been out.
Yeah, I'm not for that at all. I think that's, we had a good standard, and the whole standard has always been you want to teach people how to play the game the correct way and go about it the correct way, and that's not a very good example for young people.
Do you know why or who changed that rule in the first place? I was talking to Emily. I couldn't remember if it was T.O. or Chad or Joe Horn or what.
Chad never did anything that really got himself, you know, that way. But, you know, the rules were changed for a reason, and I thought we had good outcome. And, you know, again, this is a team game, and why we want to give in, I don't understand we want to give in to individual celebration.
There was any idea of a cut on that? You get the one massive cut now.
Yeah, I hope that won't be not a big deal at all. Not at all.
The other time, does that change the urgency, or is it already an urgent situation?
It's already an urgent situation anyway. I don't think it changes at all.
The other one that went through, I mean, you guys were directly involved with, is now the second player can come off IR. What was the thinking behind that, and obviously your thoughts on it?
Well, that's been a positive so far, and the fact that, you know, if you have a player, as an example, like last year where, you know, William Jackson could have made back and play, that's a good thing. The rule was, you know, originally put in position to say you have a marquee-type player that gets hurt early in the season or training camp or whatever, it gives him an ability to come back and play during the season. It makes his rehab more positive. Everything about it is positive for the player and, you know, and for the fans because they get a chance to see the player.
So, I mean, I guess to quote The Simpsons, old man yells at cloud. Is that where we're at with that?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think Marvin really associates the two. It's like this is how he feels about celebrations,
yeah.
And that's how he felt about drafted Joe Mixon, and this is how he feels about 90-53, and this is how, and there's not some common association of this is something that I believe is for the kids and this is for that. He's just kind of speaking the way he feels, and he just doesn't really like celebrations.
Yeah, and I think part of it, too, is because he knows he has a running back who has scored a lot of touchdowns in his first 3 years in the league who loves to dance and to do these things.
Yeah.
And I think Marvin wants Jeremy Hill to average 4.5 yards a carry and run for 1,000 yards and not worry about,
yeah,
you know, and I don't mean to put it on Jeremy, and of course Jeremy was a, I'm sorry I don't have the audio for you for this, but Jeremy was of course happy to hear that.
I bet.
You know, I mean, not that he was really ever fined or flagged for going over the top.
Remember when Jeremy Hill shaking hands and or giving the ball directly to the ref was like a thing,
right?
And then Jeremy's like, yeah, don't get used to that. I'm basically just doing that to make some coaches feel happy right now. As soon as I start scoring in the regular season, I'm about to dance.
Eric Winston, NFLPA president, was happy just because he doesn't think guys should get fined. So from that point of view, you know, Drake Kirkpatrick thought it was cool. I mean, you know, for the most part, these guys, look, scoring touchdowns are hard. AJ, this isn't going to change anything with AJ Green. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, Marvin was just, I don't think that association is there. But, you know, it'll be, if anything, like this will be a lesson. If Marvin cares to learn it, like these things that will come up like this for forever, because that video is not going away. Yeah, but Joe Mixon.
Yeah, but Joe Mixon. Right.
And
exactly.
And to a lesser degree, Adam Jones.
Yeah. The other rule that Marvin talked about was the, or I don't know if he did talk about
the IR rule.
Yeah.
And this is something, you know, Bengals owner and president Mike Brown and of course Marvin Lewis were really in favor of because it directly affected them.
One year too late.
You know, where that second player can come off IR. So obviously, of course, that would have meant William Jackson could have gotten some time last year, maybe.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't know.
Theoretically.
Gunner. Yeah.
So, you know, that just sort of allows another player who's, you know, and Marvin, I don't think was wrong in saying, like, it gives the guys a carrot in rehab, you know, like to you know, work hard and knowing, you know, you could come back to play. So, you know, that was, and, you know, again, as we mentioned at the top there, Paul, he didn't really think the 75 to 50 or the 90 to 53 reduction was going to be that big a deal. And then the overtime thing, 15 to 10 minutes, you know, again, it's funny, Paul, because this is said under the guise of player safety, but it's kind of interesting that Marvin just flat out says there, well, it's really like in case a team goes to overtime and then has to play on Thursday.
Right.
Like it.
Which it's that's really partially just to a make safety Thursday, thing.
It's safety, yeah. But to me it's you know, because what Thursday is 5 sucks. Minutes?
If you care about player safety, then just cut overtime out altogether.
Yeah, make it
or do the college overtime.
Yeah.
If you're really worried about guys playing too long and that too many stats, then come up with a different answer. You know, we'll cut 5 minutes off. I mean, really, if you're telling me if you went and what is the difference between going out and playing 70 minutes versus 75 minutes if you're playing on Thursday? Are guys really feeling that difference?
No. Yeah, it's you know, and the Bengals really weren't in a good position to speak on it because, you know, again, Eric Winston mentioned – well, at the end of the game in London, you know, at the end of that overtime, we were all real tired. Guys looked like they were slower and in more position to be injured. But then, you know, they had the bye after.
Right.
So, I mean, it was sort of, I mean, even Eric really couldn't go there in terms of saying yes, definitively.
I do remember how hurt Tyler Eifert looked after that.
Yes.
And me being, I mean, like, just... he had gotten beaten up. He caught about 10 passes all over the middle.
Right.
Pretty much his first full game back. Right. I just remember thinking, like, that's going to be a long flight for that dude. Because it is those. I mean, those are long games, but I just don't see the difference between. I mean, 5 minutes when you've played 70. I don't buy that's really that big of a deal. If you really cared about that, then go after it, really, and make it the college overtime or whatever. I don't really get into that.
So, you know, it was, that's competition committee, Marv, you know?
Yeah.
He actually likes kind of talking about that stuff.
He does.
I mean, there was 4 minutes there of, you know, things he put together, but when it came down to asking him about players and whatnot, not having
it. No, doesn't work.
You know, Drake Kirkpatrick, broken hand. Jake Elliott, the top kicker draft pick, didn't kick for us. No, if you show up tomorrow, which he knows we cannot show up for tomorrow. Tomorrow being Tuesday.
Don't make the rookie have to deal with any pressure.
No.
I mean,
we were all standing there like, why is John Brown getting, it's like him and Randy Bullock and Jake Elliott's over there on the sideline. We're like, did he get hurt in the stadium? No, it just wasn't his day because it's hard to work in three kickers, we were told.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, so don't do it on a day that the media is there because you don't want media blowing up. Oh, Jake Elliott whiffed on his first kickoff or whatever. You know what? The kid needs to learn to battle with a little pressure. You might as well start on day one.
Yeah.
Yeah, kid gloves. So- you mentioned Dre. Let's run. I want to run through the cornerback room real quick. And we'll start with Drake Kirkpatrick showing up with a broken hand.
Yeah.
why is Dre on the side? Why is his hand wrapped? So apparently he called it, correct me if I'm wrong, a freak accident.
Yep, and that's about all he would allow. I think kind of knowing, you know, the coaching staff really wouldn't want him to disclose anything more than that. and Marvin was just, you know, Marvin didn't really want to go there either. So whatever. Yeah, I mean, Dre seemed to think he'll be back in a few weeks, but you know that would be the mandatory. But at that point,
what are you doing? I would assume it'll just be their first day of training camp.
Yeah,
no one will ever remember that this happened,
right?
Unless he breaks it again or something,
right? But that gave outside reps to Darquez Dennard. So, you know, when you kind of looking at, you know, you hesitate to call it first team, but they were the first group out there. So it was, you know, Adam Jones on the one side and Darquez Dennard on the other.
Yeah, and you know, Darquez freshly minted.
Yeah.
After getting his fifth year option picked up for next year, where he'll make 8 point six.
Yeah.
I got to go look at it. I think it's 8.6 million full guaranteed cash.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Nope.
Nobody going to turn down that check. And, you know, big year for him. Big year for him. There's going to be opportunity with stuff like this.
Yeah.
Whatever happens with Adam Jones, if there's a suspension coming. But let's, before we get into that, let's bring in Darquez being really happy.
Yeah.
About being on the outside and not being stuck in the nickel as he's always been stuck since he's got here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, more reps for me. You know, more reps on the outside. You know, so just getting more experience there. I think I have a lot of experience inside, like Riley, on the outside. You know, those two different worlds. I'm more comfortable on the outside as well. So I think I kind of showed it today, getting back to my roots. So, feel good out there today. You know, OTAs is kind of people think as a, you know, as a, just another day, but. Realistically, you know, I still haven't played a lot of football, so these are a lot of reps I'm taking. I'm, you know, I'm great for them, and basically looking at them all like game reps. So, you know, just making the best of my opportunities when I'm there, and just making, just making plays more fun.
Right. For your particular position, is it with no contact? I know there's no press, and I know you guys would love the press, but is it? Are these really good though for a corner because it's footwork and hip turn? And
definitely. It's a lot of it's a lot of stuff. Just technique work as a corner playing off, and there's a lot of things that go into it. You know, reading the quarterback and keeping your pace pedal, and you know, turning and running at the right times and getting out of your break. So it's a lot of things just to work on to make you better at your game. So I'm loving it right now, just making the best of it.
Yeah. So get back outside is like kind of the main thing. Just be able to kind of get regain a feel a little bit there. Yeah, yeah.
Definitely. You know, it's two different worlds, inside and outside. So.
I talked to Darquez the day it was after the draft, and after he had signed his deal, and I think he, you know, he was kind of surprised that it had happened, and he, you know, you can tell he still has, like, that was nice. Okay, the coaches still believe in me, and right. he did feel some confidence from that. There's just a sense from him that you just know he has it in his eyes and the way he talks, that when he leaves the building, he's like, these coaches don't even know what they're doing right now, right. missing out on me, not playing on the outside. I just got my chance.
Right.
And he just needs chances like this to go out there and prove it. And to be honest, he's had some chances and has had some fails.
Yeah.
But I think you can sense that he feels he just wants to get a chance to be put on the outside to go play.
Yeah.
And, you know, days, even if it's in OTAs, stuff like that is good.
Yeah, and he, he's not lacking for confidence, but it's funny, Paul, because as you guys heard there, he admits on one hand he hasn't played a whole lot, just generally, because that's true. That's one of his fails, honestly, has been physical fails.
Mm-hmm.
Like, can you actually make it through an OTA, through a mini camp, through a training camp mm-hmm. and not be hurt? You know, but yeah, you know, that opens up on the outside. William Jackson III, you know, he got hurt in the first day of contact last year, so this isn't really new for him either. I mean, he participated in this stuff.
All this
last year. But really, you know, in terms of the nickel, it was the new free agent signing, you know, Bene Benwickery.
Yeah.
Who had won a job in Carolina for the defending NFC champion Panthers last year, and then four games into the year and 200 Julio Jones yards later, he was on the street.
And we have been talking, we talked about this a lot in the lead up to the draft.
Yeah.
This team had a very little talked about blind spot in the slot corner.
Yeah.
I mean, Darquez has not been a snug fit there. No. Josh Shaw has had struggles there. I mean, Josh Shaw was really struggling at the end of last year.
Yeah.
He started strong and really fell off. Teams were taking advantage of him in there. And they didn't address it in the draft,
right?
And so you're now looking at a guy like Bene Benwickery and saying he could definitely make this team and definitely be a contributor as the slot corner, or at least
right.
a number two slot corner. Because I mean, William Jackson III is not going to be moving inside.
No.
And maybe they would do it with Darquez, but I think they'd be opening to trying something else, especially if Darquez was getting reps on the outside. I just, you know, it's kind of an interesting thing. And if you start looking at storylines in the OTAs, you mostly need to look on the edges. I mean, yeah. You're not learning anything about defensive linemen, offensive linemen right now. They're in shorts. There's no, it's nothing.
Right.
You are learning a lot about receivers and corners and stuff like that. And this is a big opportunity over these next 9 practices for Benny Benwickery to show, hey, I'm humbled by what happened, but I played in the Super Bowl,
right?
And I can play and fill a need for you. And so if he takes advantage of it, he could be a guy that sets himself up with these 9 practices, sets himself up in camp to be in position to win a job, as Marvin Lewis would say, an opportunity for an opportunity.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, and then, you know, you throw in Kavari Russell.
Keep all right.
Yeah, and, you know.
Hey, Russ, in that 2-0.
Feeling good. You know, a guy who kind of like Jeff Driscoll, you know, where you didn't really know anything about him. I mean, he unlike Jeff Driscoll, actually got on the field at the end of last year with a lot of those injuries, and as we all know, got the year-end interception.
Yeah.
But you know, you're right though, Paul. It gives those guys a shot. And Adam Jones is interesting because, you know, Adam didn't have the best year last year, but he's also a little older. The Bengals kind of know what he has. So it's one of those things, does Adam need to practice all the time? Like, probably not.
No.
So, you know, there's going to be some opportunities for an opportunity.
Yeah.
for those guys. And, yeah, you're right. It'll be, especially if Darquez gets real comfortable out there. Because let's face it, if Dre's not going to be really available until training camp, 21 is your outside corner.
And a good chance for 9 practices for him.
Right.
To show some stuff. All right, we've mentioned Adam's name a few times. Pretty much right after we recorded the podcast last week, I believe, the Adam Jones final decision came down from the courts. So he ended up pleading to obstruction.
Yes.
And everything else was dropped. Obviously, previously, the felony had been dropped by the county. This was the city picking up and basically time served and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And so that, a bow is finally put on that, tied up. Adam apologized. If anybody cares anymore, sounded relatively sincere doing it. Certainly more sincere than he did berating Joe Daneman for no apparent reason. Mm-hmm. And so we're closer to this being behind us. The only thing left now is Raj.
Yeah.
And the league. So we've said this since January 2nd when we wrote this. No one knows what the league will do. No one knows how they will view it. No one knows when they will do it, because the league is as unpredictable as the bird sitting on this tree outside right now as to what he will do and when he will do it and how he will do it. Anybody claiming, as we have heard, maybe even around on some media outlets nationally or locally, claiming to know what Adam's decision is going to be is lying. No one knows.
No.
You don't know. And anybody that thinks they know what Roger's going to do has never watched a single decision this dude has made.
And, you know, and here's the thing, just on a practical level, Paul, because no one knows if Adam Jones is a recidivist. Now, that sounds crazy for a guy who back in 07, Roger Goodell said, this is your last chance or you're kicked out of the league. And, well, that was also 10 years ago. And the new collective bargaining agreement happened in 2011. So that was kind of a reset. We talk about the Andy AJ reboot on the field. But that 2011 CBA kind of rebooted even this sort of disciplinary stuff.
Mm-hmm.
In a lot of ways. Ray Rice, obviously, then rebooted it again and whatnot. But, that's a very real question, because Adam Jones may have had some legal issues since 2011, but he's never been suspended. So I'll be honest, Paul. I think in the Bengals' eyes, I think in Adam Jones' eyes, I think in the NFLPA's eyes, he's a first-time offender in this sort of thing. And then if that's the case, you're talking about a misdemeanor. Yeah. Obstruction of justice.
Now, the other side of that discussion, that's exactly what the Bengals are saying.
Yes.
Let me get you what probably they're saying inside of the league. A, this guy has been trouble for a long time and had issues, whether in a court of law they turned into anything or not,
right.
has still had, I mean, the thing that he got off on court where he hit the girl outside of Jefferson Social
right.
was out there. I mean, there's been small things here and there. And now this, and the league does not care what the law thinks.
Right.
The league does its own investigations, and they have their own opinions on what is against what the league believes in or thinks players should stand right. for. The league will have a problem with S my D,
right.
and I hope you die tomorrow, more so than the law will.
Right.
And the league will maybe look at the spitting video and have more of a problem with it than the law will, because someone walks in front of it or the girl was trying to get money.
Right.
They may see the video and talk to the guards and be like, dude, you clearly spit on that woman or right. whatever. I mean, whether that's actually true or not, the league does not care how the law views right. things. They have proven that over and right. over again. And so they could come in and say, we saw something different, and we viewed this through a different lens than Hamilton County and that whole thing, and through a different eyes than the city did and different eyes than the Bengals do. And so, and we kind of don't like some of the stuff we saw in the past that you got off on.
Yeah.
And this is finally time to just say, you know what? Here you go. Boom. Insert game here. Two, right. three, four, whatever.
Yeah.
It could be zero. If your argument plays through, it could be zero.
Yeah.
You can make that argument. I could see four.
Yeah.
You could make that argument if you listen, right. if you believe everything that I just said.
Right.
Right. So who knows?
Yeah,
I don't see much more than that personally.
Because it'll get appealed down no matter what.
Yeah, right.
That's why I think he'll get something. Like in my head, I see like an in between. Like two games appeal to one.
Yeah.
You know, because four is a quarter of a season appeal to three or to two. You know, it is because Adam will fight it. You know, and the PA will
sure.
fight it with all these other things, and you know that'd be interesting. So, but you know, again, to the on-field point, it opens things up, and you get rarely right, Paul, because in the last few years, a couple years ago, it was like, what is Dre Kirkpatrick about, right? Because he hadn't had any time, and
mm-hmm.
this is important for him. So, you know, if they rest Adam a little bit here or there in camp, or if there is a discipline going into the season, Dre's not really available this month. You know, that's some important work.
Yeah. And we'll see a battle. You know, Darquez always finds himself in one of these.
Yeah.
With William Jackson III. You think that dude is not going to be out there trying to
right.
play, and these coaches aren't going to be raring to see
right.
him go play?
Yeah.
If he's everything that they said he was. Of course, he said the same nice things about Darquez Nard in 2014.
Yeah.
But they said a lot of nice things about William Jackson III last year during this point in time.
Yeah.
So we shall see. That's all out. So interesting. That I think to me, the corners are probably the most interesting thing to watch during these OTA in the mini camp. The mini camp being June 13th to the 15th.
Yeah.
I think that's the most interesting thing to watch.
Yeah, because you know, and honestly, offensively, I mean, John Ross isn't there. Won't be. I mean, we won't see him run. Well, we might see him run in the mini camp, but we won't see him catch or do anything until training camp. So it's kind of the same old, same old. I mean, Joe Mixon looks fast. I mean, you know.
What can you really take on somebody?
At least he doesn't look slow,
yeah.
right? So there you go. He looks yeah. fast. I will say the one sort of funny moment with the receivers was Josh Malone. He caught it, which was you know good on him, but the ball almost hit him in the eyeballs. Now he had a helmet on, of course, but I think he realized in that moment that Andy Dalton can throw ball, and you need to turn your head around a lot faster.
Yeah, Josh Dobbs might not have the same.
It was hilarious. Like, I give Josh Malone a lot of credit for I really have no other way to describe it other than Josh Malone turned around and the ball, like the tip of it, was almost in his eye hole. And I give him credit for putting his hands up and catching it, you know, and the rest of the receivers were giving him some junk as he got back. But, yeah, so at least, you know, it amused me.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. A few other things to poke around with. So we talked last week a little bit about who's the backups at like tackle, right? So you got a little bit of a surprise. Number 77's back.
Yeah, how about it? It was he was back there. It's huge. It was like, wow, but it's Landon Lechler.
Landon Lechler.
The undrafted free agent out of North Dakota.
Not Andrew Whitworth.
Not Andrew Whitworth.
Not back.
But he's big, and he was your second team left tackle.
If that makes you feel good.
Yeah. So, you know, really hard to gauge any of that stuff. I mean, you know, but people want to know, like, who's the backup left tackle?
That's who it was.
Eric Winston was over on the right side, which is what you'd expect. That's where he was a year ago. You know, and Clint Bowling, I think Paul Alexander was probably real happy that Clint Bowling was able to participate in team drills. I don't know if they really expected that this early.
He killed it in his rehab coming back from ACL after he had that. I mean, he was back way earlier. He was back at the beginning of training camp, and that was a huge deal. I remember, I mean, he's done really well in his rehabs, two rehabs since that he's had from his big injuries now. So good on Clint in that respect.
And then really along the offensive line, Paul, I mean, we talked about Andre Smith since he's re-signed here, but this was his first real action at right guard. It wasn't always great. I mean, Carlos Dunlap is going against Jake Fisher and Gino. There's Gino right over Andre. I mean, welcome to the interior, bud. And he actually talks about it. So Andre here will bring him in, and he says a little bit about Gino, but then also just, hey, 8 years as a tackle, and now you're inside. There's just a lot of other stuff going on.
Just don't know. Just working through it, you know, trying to figure it out. It's come to me. I'm just fortunate enough to go against one of the better defensive linemen in pro football. So that's only going to make me better. So. Just look forward to competing every day.
Right. Was it, your life at a craft of doing certain things in a certain space. When all the bodies were in, at least initially, kind of strange in a way, with in terms of footwork, that, you know, there's just so much extra action around you, and or I don't know.
like I just said, it's different, of course, you know, but going from guard to tackle, I mean, from tackle to guard. But like I said, Paul's been doing a really good job getting me prepared for the position, and just makes me more mentally more in tune than guard, because you have to do more as far as communicating. So just like I said, it's a process, and I feel like I'm doing really well with that process.
Does it help? I mean, I know Jake was just a rookie and doing other things, but obviously, you know, Russ. I mean, does that help at all in terms of, I mean, even just communicator, just knowing, because you kind of know the bodies, you know the guys, and
But you know, just making sure, you know, guys know what we got to do, know who we're going to, know the technique that me and Jake may have to use on a certain play, or me and Russ, you know, that's been the good thing about offseason program. We've been working really hard on that, and some of it translated really well over the practice, you know, but we just continue to go through the process and work at it.
Does that kind of thing help with the technique aspect, because you know, I imagine a lot of terminology, the plays, the faces, bodies are the same. So you're not really trying to process a new offense or new, you know what I mean? You can just kind of work on technique.
Right. That's been the great thing about it, you know, coming back to a familiar area, familiar playbook, and knowing the nuances of the offense, and just being able to translate it over to the guard position instead of the tackle. That's been pretty good, but it's different when you're hitting moving objects as opposed to stationary objects. So, like I said, of course, it's going to be growing pains, so I just continue to stack my chips each day.
So there's Andre Smith trying to figure out that whole guard thing.
Yeah. So
we'll see how that goes.
Yeah,
another one of those things that we'll see how that plays out once we get into August. But, you know, we're not going to go down. We're trying to be in a good mood.
Yeah.
Football's back a little bit. We're not going to go down the offensive line disaster wormhole again this week for you. So just relax. We're just going to let it go. We're going to let it go. We're not going to go there today. Let's talk about why Jim's mad. So, I mean, I just want to know what it is this week. Is there anything? I mean, I assume there's something pretty good that you're cooking up. I mean, even in a celebratory BBP last week, I still convinced you to go off. And then you ended up like ripping on Steve, becoming a Stevie Wonder truther at one point. Like, just all, I know there's really, it proved that there's really no time that you aren't mad about something. So what is it this week?
I don't understand. Look, when you're driving, see, this is a driving thing. It's been a while since I got mad on the road. Well, at least publicly. They're called turn lanes for a reason. And what I don't understand is why people don't go all the way into the turn lane. So you're driving. There's a turn, left turn lane, right turn lane. It's a whole lane. It's like, you know, I don't know, 400 feet long, whatever it is. Why do you need to ride that line in the middle? Between my lane, I'm trying to get around you, and your little car. Now, I drive a little car. I don't think it's a truck. You know, I don't need the 100-foot turn radius. You know what I mean? Like, that drives me insane, because especially in, like, city driving, urban driving, where, you know, like, they're going to turn yellow and all that stuff. I don't understand that. Use the lane.
Use
it's the lane. It's there.
It's a lane.
It's got a big arrow pointing on the ground telling you to where to go. Drive over the arrow. It's like Mario Kart or whatever. You know what I mean?
People don't follow the lanes enough.
No.
I feel like there's a disrespect across this whole country towards lanes. Like, just not understand, like, what those are for. Like, when you go and you're doing the left, have you ever, where you're sitting there and you're trying to get on the highway and turn left onto the highway ramp, and it's like where you have the two, and then the left lane is back further. And they come whipping around that corner not knowing you're there, because they don't care if you're there or not, because they disrespect the fact that there could be a lane there.
Yes.
And then nothing pisses me off. I always stay back as long as I can just to see if they cross over the little corner. Don't cross that corner. That's my corner. And if I was up there, you'd be hitting me, and you wouldn't like what was going to happen next, because you'd be paying for my damage. And then some. Insurance fraud coming next. Okay. You see what I'm happy about? I am happy about what happens outside the front window of my house, because between a new baby and not being able to move a whole lot with my back issue, I spend a whole lot of time sitting at the dining room table in front of my house looking out the window that looks out on the street. This is sad. Now, people are sad for me, and I understand this, but don't be, because
Mommy, look, who's that strange man in the window?
Yeah. People are used to seeing me now, just sitting there. It's me, and my dog loves the window. It always has. And now I know where it comes from. He loves looking out, because it's always action out there. He's like, so it'll just be me, my dog with both his paws up, looking out, Uncle Phil looking out, seeing what's going on. My daughter will be on the table in the little boppy thing, sitting there looking into space, trying to figure out what things are. And my wife will be there too, and we will just see. We live, it's a no outlet both ways. Nothing should be happening back here. But crazy. We literally, it was like on a Sunday, and people were coming. They looked like three older people walking from church. They were in their Sunday's best, and they literally walked two blocks from down the street, down the middle of the street, not on the sidewalk, down the middle of the street, through an intersection, came down to ours, then took a left like they're a car, all the way down, come back, still in the street. We have large sidewalks on both sides. And then went back up, took a right, and then, so you know, we see him come back again, going back up towards the church, still in the middle of the street. What has a sidewalk ever done to you? I've never seen anything like it. Then you see two people just carrying two, this dude is carrying two giant rocking chairs in both arms down the street while his wife walks next to him with a dog and a baby. It's like, oh, well, while you're carrying those rocking chairs, I'll go take the kid and the dog for a walk. I won't, instead of, you know, helping you with it. But this type of stuff, and we have a little public walkway next to our house that Google Maps will make you think is a road.
Oh.
So it's great. People come down thinking they're getting a quick way to Kroger, and they just stare and look around and down at their phone, and then look up at me in the window.
And you just shake your head disapprovingly. No.
No, you don't know what you're doing, sir. So, this is where I'm at right now.
It's the simple things.
With entertainment value. Yeah. But anyway, it makes me happy, all the action that happens outside our front window. So if you ever come down, if you're ever in the Oakley area, back behind St. Cecilia, wander around, you'll eventually probably see my face looking right back at you. Oh, man. Anyway, so that's where we're at with that. What else we got going on? I don't know. Maybe
yeah,
it.
No, that was, you know, no one got hurt.
No one got hurt.
No one got hurt. There were no big things going on. I mean,
yeah,
nothing crazy. No one looked awful. No one looked great.
Hey, when's the big hot take James battle going to go down now?
Yeah, we'll have to figure
tell
this
people.
Out. Yeah, because we got pushed back a little bit with your situation.
Yeah. Yeah, the early baby threw all of our whole schedule idea out the window.
So we'll get to it.
It's happening.
We'll rekindle this. We'll restoke this fire. Maybe before we get into training camp.
It's not hard to stoke the hot take James fire.
No, and then he makes me mad too. That'll just be an entire podcast of James making me mad. And
we'll do that as like a sparring session where the podcast before. I'll just bring up some stuff that James has said. It's just sort of, it's like you working the bag a little bit, you know, just getting it worked out and being ready.
Yeah, that'll be one I think you just need to, you'll just be able to sit back and,
yeah,
you know, make sure it doesn't go totally off the rails.
I hope.
I want it to
go off the rails.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I don't want it, you know.
Yes, you do. Roast.
We'll put it this way: it has to
be
done. He's gonna
try to roast you.
Yeah, just because we've got some really cool podcast stuff coming up in the month before camp, I think we'll have to get it done at least by the mini camp. So we'll work it out before then, because then we get into real football, and you know, then I want to hit him with a microphone during that stuff. So
no. Nice vague tease dropping there, by the way. Oh, that's as far as we're going right now.
Yeah,
real cool stuff.
Yeah.
Of course, anybody that has followed our trend the last few years knows that the month before the season, we usually have some real cool stuff on the podcast. So just know that we are not bucking that trend, and it's going to be cool again. So just all you need is know. That's all you need to know for right now. We're not going to go further than that. Just know cool stuff is coming. All right, let's get out of here.
Yeah.
We can rock out. What do you got? I had last week when you tried to, you know, take down Stevie, which is a whole thing. I didn't know as much about that until afterwards. I went and looked into it, and man, people really were up in arms about Stevie catching that microphone that was dropping.
I'm telling you, Stevie can see.
He can see. I just don't know why we got to go after the blind guy.
Yeah, you know,
just let him be blind.
Yeah. So I figure I'll do a couple things here because this isn't really my lane. I think it's kind of your lane.
Do you have disrespect for lanes right now?
No, well, you know, I think people that I know were affected by this, and I think, you know, musically this is your lane. And I don't know, I've really gotten into the Chris Cornell "Nothing Compares to You" cover.
Really?
I think that's it's kind of a downer. Is that a downer for the BBP?
You know, we just talked about how we had a real happy podcast.
Yeah.
And you're going to bring up, like, the dude who committed suicide singing "Nothing Compares to You."
I didn't say that.
You just did.
I just said I was into it.
Okay, well, in case you're listening and didn't know this, Chris Cornell committed suicide.
Should we play the instrumental version of that? Yeah. So, that was... I don't know, you know, because you like your Pearl Jam.
I do. I love Temple of the Dog. I mean, I would do.
So
I would do
something
that
a little. Well, how about? I mean, I don't know anything this guy sings.
Or we could do old school Soundgarden, dude. I'd be
that's
so
fine. I mean,
you know, Black Hole Sun is kind of up your alley. Like that's a real angry type of song.
That works for me, I guess. Would I recognize it?
Yes.
All right,
dude.
That's not really my. You know.
Yeah, but. You were in the 90s. I mean, you were in the. If you were in the 90s, you were.
I heard
this song, Black Hole Sun.
No, way over my head.
No, you've heard that.
Well, I'm sure I've heard it, but I can't. There's no recall whatsoever.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
I was. You know,
dude, the video was crazy for Black Hole Sun. It was like
I'm sure I saw the video.
Yeah. It was really weird. Like everyone's, it almost was like a Salvador Dali thing. Everyone's faces started melting off and stuff. It was nuts.
Yeah, I got no.
All right.
Now that you say that, I got no recall.
All right. Well, once we get done, you're gonna watch the video and we're gonna play the song right now in honor of Chris Cornell.
Yeah.
Jim, you know who was incredible. I mean, I obviously am a huge Pearl Jam fan. Love the work that he did with Temple of the Dog. He wrote all that stuff. all the Temple of the Dog stuff, which is really incredible.
So I just figured, you know, that was up your musical alley.
It is up my musical alley.
One of your lanes.
Yeah, but I felt like it was a down. I mean, you did really bring us down, but, you know, shout out to a guy who was really incredible in the grunge scene in particular, and, you know, just a great frontman of Soundgarden, Audioslave, Chris Cornell. All right, well, we'll be back next week. Remember, again, next week we'll be back on Wednesday because the OTA availabilities are on Tuesdays, so we want to make sure we have new content to bring to you from the availabilities and we're practice. So keep an eye out for that. We'll talk to you then. Until then, here's a little Black Hole Sun from Soundgarden and Chris Cornell. In my eyes, indisposed, in disguises, no one knows. Has the face, lies the snake, in the sun, in my disgrace. Boiling heat, summer stench, neath the black, the sky looks dead. Come wash away.